All right, so welcome to Jaybird Watching, everybody. Here, all you Blue Jays fans are still foaming at the mouth for any kind of wonderful news about the Blue Jays, you know, Manager Watch 2010. We got a sequel show here for you today as we go for 2.0 version. Once again, joining me for the manager conversation, I have Hayden Godfrey of Jays Journal. How you doing, Hayden?
I'm doing very well, Craig. How you doing?
Doing wonderful on a, you know, what has now become more or less winter here in Rochester, New York, and I'm sure it's the same way up there in Toronto.
Yes, sir, it is. It's getting chilly. The off season is almost upon us.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's that whole I don't like anybody in the World Series right now because I can't even root for the Red Sox, and I don't like the shenanigans that have been going around with the Dodgers lately, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
But as far as what we're hoping to get, as far as the kickoff to the Blue Jays inaugural off-season fun here, we are immersed in the what has become the, more or less I'm going to say, the final five, just to make it fun here, of the Blue Jays managers, or at least for the sake of talking points on this show, we have the five names that keep coming up prevalently throughout the off-season so far here. When what we were just talking about is probably, this has got to be a manager decision that is pending or coming very, very soon as far as the winter meetings are sneaking up on us and all that kind of good stuff. So, yeah. Hayden, do you want to jump in on Joe Espada first?
Yeah, Craig, Joe Espada is a really, really interesting name. My wonderful colleague Vic Urientia over at the Jays Journal wrote a very compelling piece about how Espada is a Spanish speaker. He's not only an experienced baseball mind, but he's experienced in sort of getting to know Latin American baseball players. He's a very, very intriguing choice. And I've been joking around with other colleagues that, like, that's the trend, that an Astros bench coach is always going to get picked up by another team, as was the case with Alex Cora last year. But Espada is a really intriguing choice, and as you know, as the search sort of progresses, it seems like Espada might be a favorite for the job, although the recent Montoyo interview, which I'm sure we'll touch on, sort of threw a wrench in that. But at this point, if you were a betting person, it'd probably be the safest to bet on Espada being the next Jays skipper.
Yeah, he's been a little bit all over the place as far as his coaching career goes. He's been with the Florida/Miami Marlins, the Yankees, and with the Houston Astros in various roles as far as things go. So, and he's also got some minor league managing experience underneath his belt. So it's going to be a very interesting group that he could possibly bring in. And apparently also what I'm reading on his wonderful Wikipedia page here, he was the part of the Puerto Rican World Baseball Classic team in 2013 too as far as the coaching staff goes. So, and that's a big thing, I think, with the eclectic Latin America team that we more or less have going on in our minor league system right now. That's a nice little tip in his hat for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the WBC team, the Puerto Rican WBC team, they did really well. And he, you know, in some standards was a really big part of that. So, yeah, definitely is a little bit of an attractive thing. I'm not sure that's going to make or break his candidacy because I don't know that Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro are overly concerned with that, but it can't hurt. It's certainly attractive.
Yeah, it's definitely at least checking one extra box on the resume for him. But as far as the things go, I think all these guys that we're going to talk about today, actually, I meant to mention this before we dove into it, but Ross Atkins has went on record saying he's looking for a tough, smart, and passionate person to be the manager for the Toronto Blue Jays, and somebody that's open-minded enough to jump into the conversation with the new stuff that is prevalent, and not just look at the 25-man roster, but have an idea of what's going on throughout the organization. Somebody like Espada and all the other guys on this list definitely fit that mold as far as they are used to working with minor league talent. So I think that is definitely what is coming, and obviously for good reason. We got one of the best systems in baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a huge thing. And I know you mentioned on Twitter a little while ago about all these guys have some minor league managing experience. It is going to be a young team, and so they're not going to go with a more experienced manager. And it absolutely has to have something to do with the relationships that this potential manager is able to form with the young core. That's huge. And I think all these guys having minor league managing experience almost was part of the criteria to move on to the second stage of interviews.
Yeah, definitely showing through as far as that one. I think they're definitely showing their colors as far as who is going to get the job, as far as what is going on. Our one dreamscape thing might be falling through, Hayden. I'm sorry.
Unfortunately not, yeah.
I have not heard even a hint of rumor other than the fact that everybody was thinking that was going to be the wonderful you know, dark horse candidate to come in and sweep everybody off, you know, kind of like you're running off with your prom date or something.
Neither have I, unfortunately. I mean, you know what? I never say never, but it, you know, it doesn't look like Molly, unfortunately, is garnering a lot of interest from any team in the managerial market. But, you know, we shall see.
Maybe that's where his at. Maybe he wants to take the year off or something. Maybe that's what it is. And then maybe that's what's falling down to. And maybe there has been a phone call made and things we'll never know as far as wonderful closed shut things go. Yes. We'll even talk about some more of those weird oddities with the Blue Jays front office here in a minute. I don't want to jump the gun here. Next, we got the Rays connection, basically, which you might have saw my tweet out last night that says, oh, great, we got another guy interviewing from the Tampa Bay Rays. Does that mean we can finally beat him? We'll have some inside info.
Yeah, you know, Craig, it's really interesting, the whole Rays connection. And what you said, while incredibly funny, there is a real sense of legitimacy to that. The Blue Jays have had this sort of chronic inability to beat the Tampa Bay Rays, and potentially that could be helped. You know, what I'm looking at with the Tampa Bay Rays, first of all, is that manager Kevin Cash of the Rays, who's a tremendous manager, and he's lauded league-wide for his unique strategies and progressive approach to baseball, he just signed a six-year contract extension. That is massive. He's going to be managing that team for a long time. And so if you're Rocco Baldelli, who's one of the candidates that reportedly made it to the finalists, and Charlie Montoya, who John Heyman of FanCred just reported is the newest person to have interviewed for the job, you've got to think, there's not a lot, you know, that I can do with this position. They've got the managerial role locked down. And so if you're one of those guys, you have to look elsewhere to manage. And I think that's why, you know, the fact that they've been working in a progressive organization strategically, the use of the opener, shifts, pretty much ever since Joe Maddon came in, they've been a really, really sort of, I don't want to use the word progressive again, but they've been really, really forward-thinking, analytically focused baseball teams. And I think that's what's making them so attractive.
Yeah, and as far as the wonderful goes for what Rocco Baldelli has been doing, he has also been the Major League Field Coordinator for the Tampa Bay Rays, is apparently his latest job title, coaching role, obviously, but the fact that he is, like you said, controlling where the guys are on the field and working with those shifts and looking at all the metrics and making sure you can set yourself up best possibly defensively for any at bat. And I think that's been proven in spades since Kevin Cash has come in, and he's been in the forefront for that. So
it's really interesting to me. I mean, a lot of people seem to have doubted the Rays a little bit this year, but I believe they had 91 wins this year, so we'll see. Those two are definitely super. Yeah, they had 90 wins. Those two are super, super intriguing to me. And you know what? We'll see what happens. Montoya, for some reason, I'm not getting the sense, is a super serious candidate. But Baldelli's been mentioned by everybody. So we'll definitely see what happens with that.
Yeah, and as far as if I had to look between the two of them right now, I might have Montoya taken, in my opinion, a little bit slight run. Or at least, like I said, full on my opinion. I love what he's done in his managing career in the minor leagues. And knowing that he can work with young talent like that, he was the main manager for the Durham Bulls, who have been unstoppable the last decade.
Yes.
So, and I'm not just quoting Bull Durham stuff when I was making that joke yesterday, but, you know, we might hit the damn bull if we get him up there. So as far as it goes, I like what his pedigree has, and knowing that he has been working with Baldelli and Kevin Cash in that system, some of that stuff has had to have been rubbing off on him as far as how to position players and how to run with some of these wonderful new metrics and, you know, mathematicians that are now in all the major league front offices. So I think that is a impressive pairing right there, one way or the other, and it'd be nice to see him, one of them.
Yeah, I really think it would. It, you know, there's something to be said about the AL East, and especially, I mean, you're looking at a 90-win Tampa Bay Rays team that had a stupidly low payroll and a sort of a shoestring roster. The coaching staff had a lot to do with that, Baldelli in particular. I mean, his position is a position that isn't on all Major League Baseball coaching staffs. It's a unique position that I don't know if Cash specifically created, but, you know, the higher-ups that the Rays did create, and it's really impressive what they've been able to do. So, you know, if I had to make a choice, and you know, you and I spoke about this, what, 3-4 weeks ago, about Baldelli and about, you know, the prospect of him being, he was sort of a dark horse at that point, but he would definitely be, I think he would be my pick at this point. It looks like he's the quote-unquote favorite for the Twins job, but we'll see how that shakes out.
As far as it goes, if he does get the Twins job and I have to settle for Montoya, I'm strangely okay with it. I really think they're both on that same even play. I just think the slight age difference, they're about, right, it says Rocco Baldelli's 37 and Montoya is 53. So that's where you're getting kind of, Montoya's dancing on that line of old school baseball and new school baseball.
Right.
So that's where where Baldelli is all in on the mathematician stuff.
Yes.
Where I think there's enough of what's going on right now that I still think that there is no one clear-cut way or the other. I love both sides of it, but I really think that you need both pieces of that puzzle to be a successful baseball manager. So maybe that's my opinion, and I'm not that much older than you, but
there definitely is something to be said about that. I was actually speaking with a colleague recently who suggested that they go after a guy like Baldelli, who's super new school, and then go to a guy like, you know, Buck Showalter, Mike Scioscia as the bench coach to sort of have that balance of old school and new school. Maybe not within, you know, one person, but just to have that diversification on the staff. I'm intrigued to see what they do.
Yeah, you're probably going to have more luck getting Damarro Hale and Leap back.
Right. Yeah, it's looking that way.
Get your old school. Which I think works.
We haven't heard a lot about the rest of the coaching staff. They're still under contract, but I heard a rumor recently that it's possible that they could forego that to pursue other opportunities, but really not a lot has been heard about the rest of the coaching staff.
Yeah, I think it'd come down to whether they want to stay or not would be
what
I would think the manager, the front office would do it with it. But anyway, let's move on. We have two more guys I'd like to chit-chat about really quickly here.
Sure.
We got Brandon Hyde, who has been part of the Cubs organization as the bench coach. He's been interviewing everywhere.
Yeah.
So as far as the race goes, he might be a person of interest, but as far as things go, it sounds like he might be locked up already. Also part of that Twins wild card that has thrown in all this fun.
Yeah, you know, Brandon Hyde, Craig, is a really, really interesting story. Again, a super, super positive, safe bet for a manager. I really don't think you'd be angering a lot of the fan base if he was appointed manager. But as you mentioned, the Twins are being very aggressive with their search. The Rangers, who are not being as aggressive, have also been tied to Hyde. I recently read a report that said he'd be interviewing for the Orioles job, and the Orioles are looking for a manager, even though they've said next to nothing. But he's a very interesting choice. I mean, he was the bench coach for the Cubs, who were a successful organization in their own right. I mean, they had an untimely demise this postseason. But, you know, we're looking at a guy who has a lot of experience, who has a lot of things to bring to the table. And there's something about the bench coach over the past 2 or 3 years. They're taking on more of a strategic role than the manager. And so there is something to be said about guys who have a background as the bench coach. But again, as you mentioned, out of those, you know, five finalists, he might be the one that we've heard the least about since that Shai Davidi report. So again, we'll have to see, but it doesn't look like there's a lot of noise going on about him.
Yeah, I found out just a really funny, interesting tidbit that I got to point out here. I was just diving through all his history here. Not only has he been a bench coach repetitively, he was preceded. He actually got Carlos Tosca kicked out of the Marlins in 2010, and then he also kicked out Eric Hinsky as a bench coach for the Chicago Cubs, or a first base coach for the Chicago Cubs. So there's a weird 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon, Blue Jays.
Exactly. Interesting.
I can't believe. First off, I can't believe Wikipedia even has that information. Second, being able to find it. So, but yes, he has been a very successful coach as far as the bench coach goes, and was part of the 2016 world champion Chicago Cubs. So I have a little bit of a championship pedigree there as well. Play for very long. She's a Chicago White Sox from 97 to 2000. Bad 252 and 200 games, but that doesn't show everything. For those who can't do teach, right?
Yeah. You want to look at all these guys. People are talking about Alex Cora being a fantastic manager. Alex Cora was a journeyman, you know, utility player. Was not super successful, never made an all-star team, if I'm correct. So, having that experience just at the major league level, success isn't always the biggest indicator.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And as far as it goes, I really think that that falls in that same part of that conversation as the Rays guys. You got Joe Maddon's, you know, connection with Hyde there. So
yes,
it is what it is. And I forgot to mention it. Yeah, the Blue Jays since 2010 are 70-98 against the Rays.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I knew it was bad, but I didn't think it was that bad.
And at the Trop, it's really terrible. I don't think they're really, really that awful at the Dome, but I know at the Trop. I mean, I can't remember who it was who referred to the Trop as the House of Horrors. Maybe it was it you, Craig?
It was me.
The House of Horrors. It really is. It is in so many ways for them.
Midnight Terrors.
Yeah.
But as far as all that goes, I just think it's funny if you get somebody that was maybe knows how to play that team and what to do with those metrics. Yes. I think the Blue Jays at home were closer to 50-50, but that's that's 28 games under 500.
Wow.
In the last 8 years, it's kind of rough. So, wow. Anyways, we got one more guy that is the wonderful media hole at the moment as far as, we got a Josh Donaldson situation going on with Stubby Clapp. So as far as Clapp goes, he's been, Arizona Fall League, and with all the Blue Jays minor leaguers, you would think that'd be the shoo-in. But, it sounds like he interviewed, didn't interview. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't know. All sorts of media fun around Clapp at the moment.
Yeah, Craig, it's a very, very interesting story, and I'm very, very... I'm scared to talk about this because I know Clayton, might be listening, and he's a very good friend and colleague of mine who adores Stubby Clapp. but Stubby Clapp is in many ways, as you mentioned, this media enigma in so many different ways. He is clearly qualified to do the job. The Memphis Redbirds, the Cardinals AAA affiliate, he's been managing them for quite a while, and he's been doing a fantastic job. And there's no doubt in my mind that he could make a spectacular major league manager, and all the love that's being given to him from the Blue Jays fandom is completely justified. With that being said, I don't know that they are taking that step. Again, this is purely speculation based on what I've read from a variety of reports from insiders, but he was asked by Shai Davidi in Arizona about 2 weeks ago whether or not they've contacted him and what he thinks of the rumors. And he said bluntly, I haven't heard anything. Ross Atkins has not gotten in touch with me. There's been nothing going on now. We hear from Bob Elliott a while ago that the Jays did interview him. Yesterday it's heard that the Jays did not interview him. So again, it's a very crazy sort of eccentric situation. Again, he would be my vote. Again, we were on talking about this the first time we talked about managerial vacancies, that he would be, aside from Molitor, our second pick for the manager. And in a lot of ways, that still holds true. It just, for some reason, his name has not made it into the mainstream. But the Shai Davidi report that I always continue referring to, where he talked about narrowing down to five finalists, it talks about Hyde, Espada, Baldelli, David Bell, who was just hired by the Cincinnati Reds as their manager, and a mystery man. And Clapp could very well be that mystery man. So, we really don't know. But Clapp has been a fascinating story to watch, regardless of how you view it.
Yeah, and not to mention watching him get to play with manage all the young talent that they have right now in the Arizona Fall League has been insane. Vlad is doing Vlad things. All the other guys are hitting well, and the team is looking really, really good. And, Clapp being, first off, a Pacific Coast League champion.
Yes.
And not to mention just that, but he was named the Baseball America Minor League Manager of the Year in 2017. Wow. So very pedigreed rosters, resume talent there, and that, and not to mention all the other championships he's won in minor league baseball, including being part of the Blue Jays organization in 2013 as a hitting coach. So it is what it is. I really hope he gets a chance to at least come in and show what he can bring to this organization, or maybe they are using the Arizona Fall League as literally just the litmus test for him. But if that's it, they still got to have a conversation, and it's going to come out, and I really think it would be kind of silly to at least not bring him in for an interview and show him what he could bring against some of these other guys, or at least to give you that comparison.
Yeah, it's definitely an intriguing fit, and as you mentioned, the AFL could very well be a litmus test. I think if you're the Blue Jays front office right now, it would almost be a crime to not at least do your due diligence about Stubby Clapp, because it's clear that the fan base loves him, at least the online fan base loves him. And again, we talk about the PR ramifications of naming a manager. He would make a lot of the fans he'd make my editor at Jays Journal very happy. But aside from that, he would make a lot of Jays fans very happy. And, we haven't even gotten to this. He's a Canadian guy.
Yep.
I know you're in the States, but he's a Canadian guy, and Canadian baseball people are a rarity. And that's really something that was drawing a lot of people to Rob Thomson, Philly's bench coach early on in the search. I don't think he's in there right now.
I don't remember hearing much of him ever after that.
He was sort of rumored a little bit. There was the potential because of the way that Kapler's going in Philly. He's got a lot of years ahead of him that he could be leaving the job. But it sort of just goes back to that thing. Canadian baseball people make Canadian baseball fans, Blue Jays fans, excited. And that's just another layer of excitement on top of, you know, the Stubby Clapp story. So I'm intrigued by that, as I am by the rest of them.
Yeah, and I'm glad you touched on that, as I was going to make sure I pointed that out as well. But and that's regardless of me being the lone Blue Jay fan here in Rochester, New York. So, no, being a frequent visitor, I know completely the pride you guys all have for the nation of Canada, and I can understand that 110%. Unfortunately, I don't have the same United States love at the moment. Pride in my country, not in what they're doing with it.
That is a-okay on occasion.
Before we get into another political battle here, or it's terrible drinking games, or whatever the hell's going to happen here. As far as things go, if I had to have my pick out of those five, it's going to be a close race between me and Montoya and Clapp, in my opinion. What do you stand?
You know what, Craig, it's interesting that you ask. There's no bad choice, I think. For me, I would go between Baldelli and Espada. But again, there's really no wrong thing. I say that's what I like. Mm-hmm. But if you tell me tomorrow that Hyde is in there, or that Clapp is in there, or Montoyo's in there, I'm really not going to be disappointed either way. If, for example, Eric Wedge is named, that might be a different story. But, you know, there's no real bad choices here.
Yeah, you don't see – all I know is I'm glad the John Farrell rumors died very quickly.
Yes, sir. That was something that was a great concern to the hardcore Blue Jays fans, but it does not look like it's going to happen. Yeah.
He looks like he's happy doing his ESPN announcing job of late.
Makes sense.
I think we're good with that one. So as far as things go, Hayden, it's your time to shine. What do you got going on?
Yeah, Craig, I'm continuing my hijinks at Jays Journal, writing about rumors, breaking news, interviews, minor leaguers, everything. I've also had the pleasure of recently joining calltothepen.com, which is fan-sided's MLB blog of all things baseball. So I'm found there not writing just Blue Jays, but all MLB teams. So you can find I think Ari Shapiro calls them literary exploits, which I think is hilarious, over at Jays Journal or on Called the Pen. And just on Twitter, I'm always into talking baseball.
Yeah, and make sure everybody jumps in and finds Hayden. And he, from what I hear, he might even be joining us here if he wants to start talking instead of just, you know, showing his scribblings is what I like to call him.
That is definitely the possibility, and I really appreciate you having me on, as always, Craig.
No worries, my friend. Cheers, and have a nice evening.
Thank you, you too.
As far as all you Blue Jays fans out there, keep listening to us here at Jaybird Watching. We're going to make sure we still have an episode for you once a week, whether it's just me coming out here going, hey, I'm here, and then leaving, or whatever it might be. Anyways, hit us up on Twitter if you want to join in the conversation. We're also going to be having the fan chat episodes once a month, so make sure you hit us up on there. We're going to have our next episode, whenever I can actually pin down Chris Henderson of Jays Journal and actually have a conversation here. We're going to be bringing you our 2018 Blue Jays off-season bold predictions, so it's going to be a random goofy show. I hope you all enjoy it, and make sure you hit us up at BirdwatchingGC on Twitter, and hope you all have a nice evening.